It started like this. We were a Korean family living in London. My father was a mechanical engineer working for Daewoo before the company started making cars. It wasn't so famous then. We'd been living in England for 3 years. Like my older sister, I was learning English at school. At home, we spoke Korean. It was perfectly natural. We'd be going home eventually. Meanwhile, we got to learn English ways. Every week, I would go with my sister to the local music school my mother had found in the Yellow Pages, and every week, I would sit there, kicking my heels while my sister had her piano lesson. She was good, my sister. I would listen to her play and wonder whether it would ever be my turn. I started writing, picked up the pen with my left hand. No, I couldn't do that. I had to put my left hand behind my back, use my right. At school, no one had batted an eyelid, but my mother was worried about what people would think when we went back to Korea. In Korea, it was considered bad luck to be left-handed, so I became right-handed. Korea was still our final destination. We went to a Korean church and, once a week, to a Korean school 2.5 hours away. But the journey gave me nosebleeds, so my mother taught me to read and write Korean at home. It was important. Korea was where our home lay. Then, one day, my mother asked me the question I'd been waiting for, and everything changed. Do you want to play? She had already decided I wasn't going to play the piano. There was only one piano teacher in the school and no available slots on the day of my sister's lesson. If I chose the piano, my mother would have to accompany me on another day, and that would have defeated the whole purpose of the exercise. It had to be something else. There were only 2 spaces free at the same time as my sister learnt her piano, a trumpet space and a violin space. The trumpet didn't appeal at all. But the violin! I leapt at the idea. I had to wait a week where the space lay open, unused, where a violin waited for me, untouched. I found it almost unbearable. The prospect gnawed at my bones. I had to do something. Before we went to bed, my sister and I would often play little games, act out little plays with each other. One of us would be a waitress, the other a customer. One of us would be a doctor, the other patient. I always imagined, at that age, that I would be a doctor. I had been in hospital myself and had liked the doctors who looked after me, liked the idea of growing up to be like them, helping patients get better. Now I insisted we would not play a game at all. We would play duets. So my sister made a paper keyboard while I copied the shape of a violin from our children's encyclopedia and cut it out. Together we played our duets. When it was over, I took my violin to bed, played it some more under the bedclothes. It was silent, but I could hear it. It weighed nothing, but I could feel it. My best friend was also taking violin lessons. She offered to lend me her quarter size, but it was too big. So my mother went down to the local music shop and bought a tiny 8-size violin. It was a harsh, factory-made thing from China, but when I held it, I could feel the romance within. I had a history of teaching myself to play instruments. I'd taught myself the piano, recorder, and harmonica. By the time the day came around, I'd worked out how to play Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. It might have been then, on my first lesson, or it might have been my second. It's hard to pinpoint the exact moment. But let me say that I knew right away that holding a violin, playing a violin, was not simply for me, but it was me. Everything about it seemed so easy, so natural, the way it settled on my body, my fingers so utterly comfortable in that position. There was nothing awkward or alien about it at all. My arms stretched out, my hand grasped the neck, my chin and shoulder pressed to the body, my legs firm on the floor. There was a normality to it that seemed completely familiar. I knew I could play anything. Anything. This was not arrogance. I was a shy child, reluctant to come forward, to give voice, to take center stage, but more simply that I had found not only my home and my voice, but my element. I could swim in this world. I could dive and soar. I could ride crests and float down streams, swim with or against any current. I felt like a creature released, alive in itself for the first time. There was a problem. I was shown how to work the big horsehair bow with the nub of the rosin, shown how the hard nut transformed into a soft white powder, covering the strands and seeping into the air. The bow thus oiled, I found out how to draw the sound out, how you had to coax it. But the rosin gave me asthma. I was allergic to it, wasn't able to play for more than half an hour before being felled by terrible wheezing. My chest seized in an iron grip, my lungs convulsed, fighting for air that wasn't there. I was put on steroids to keep the attacks at bay. But rather than being a hindrance, my asthma became an indication of my talent. I couldn't practice like anyone else. Couldn't put the hours in, but it didn't hold me back. I could still progress, progress at a rate that was way outside the norm. Asthma, the potentially debilitating nature of it, became a mark of my agility, a badge denoting a child who possessed unusual skill. Other children got asthma. Only mine proved I was unlike the others. It marked me out.